Today we study about Daniel chapter 6. So, in chapter 5 we notice that the kingdom of Babylon has been destroyed. Now is a new kingdom. In chapter 6. Joyce, could you read that? The entire chapter.
Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing, so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any man or God except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lion. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issued a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
So what have we learned in the sixth chapter of Daniel? When Daniel set to be a man of integrity, and he set himself apart, not just in chapter 1, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. And now, in chapter 6, he did the same thing. And from verse 1 all the way to verse 4, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdoms, with three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. And the satrap were made accountable to them so that the kings might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrator and the satrap by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I want to stop here. And that's the structure that Darius. King Darius is the king of Medes. And he's the king. And underneath has three administrators. And underneath three administrators, there's 120 satraps. Because Daniel is one of the administrators. And Daniel is so good that Darius want to set him above the other two administrators and above the 120 satrap. What's the reason for that? I tell you the reason for that. Because the entire kingdom was under the 120 satraps. What happened if he didn't have three administrators to oversee these 120 people? They're going to pocket themselves. Tax and revenue and all that, right? So that Darius wanted to make sure that he didn't get hurt for that. Okay? I read that to you again. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satrap, with the 120 satrap, was made accountable to the three administrators so that the king might not suffer loss. Okay? Now, as we see, a lot of the politicians, the reason why they want to get into the politician to be a satrap and all that, so that they can benefit their own family, right? They take bribe and all that. And but Daniel, in verse 3, will you please write down Daniel chapter 6, verse 3? You write down Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. In the beginning of his life, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal fruit and wine. And now the kingdom of Babylon has been destroyed, was replaced by Darius the Mede. And he resolved himself to be separate from them all. He didn't want to take bribery. He just wanted to be faithful to the king Darius. So in verse 3, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrator, among the two administrators and the 120 satrap by his exceptional quality that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Because of that, in verse 4, at this, the administrator the other two administrators, and 120 satraps, tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. Why? Because Daniel so distinguished himself, he resolved not to take any corruption. He's a man of integrity. And the king see that. So the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, they could find no corruption in him because Daniel didn't take bribe, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, this man said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man." Then, against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. I want to stop here to tell you one thing. Now, when you go to work in the society, the moment you want to make up your mind to resolve not to defile yourself, not to follow the trend of the world, not to follow the way of the world, you want to be a woman of integrity, a man of integrity, of good quality, not to take any corruption, I can tell you one thing. You will face persecution. Because why? The reason why they want to take the job, so that they can take corruption. You understand? So you have no intention to do that, they're going to be against you. But one thing, this is the way to serve God. To serve God with integrity. You see that in the news, a lot of politicians, they don't serve with integrity. What happened? They end up locked up in prison. Okay? Either way, you suffer for righteousness that you have done, or you suffer for unrighteous thing that you have done. You will suffer no matter what. Okay? Now, in verse 6. So the administrator, the other two administrators, because there are three administrators, Daniel is one of them. So the other two administrators and the satrap, 120 satrap, went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." He just tried to, I want you to write down in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, what they're trying to do. They want to set a trap for King Darius to fall into it. Okay? When someone tried to flatter you, you better be very, very careful, okay? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, "Whoever flatter his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet." And that's exactly what the other two administrators and the 120 satrap tried to do as a group, went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." Verse 7. The royal administrator, prefects, satraps, advisor, and governor have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prayed to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king. That means he flattered Darius and set Darius as if he's God. You understand? And he liked that idea. He fell into the trap. Listen to me. Anyone try to flatter you, he's the one who's spreading a net for you to fall. You understand? And now, King Darius fall into the trap. Fall into the trap. He can't get out now. And he liked the idea. People like to be flattered, okay? Verse 7, I read that again. The royal administrator, prefects, satrap, advisor, and governor have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prayed to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, should shall be thrown into lion den, the lion dens. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing, so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the king Darius put the decree in writing. Now, do you remember in chapter 2 what kind of dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has? He's the what? Golden head, right? And then what do we have? That portion is what? Silver, right? Silver chest, right? Gold is more precious than silver, isn't it? In the kingdom of Babylon, whatever king say, he can change any time. Even though he put it in writing, he can change it next day. But in this kingdom, Mede and Persian, when the king put anything, any law in writing, the king has no right to change it. He cannot change it. So silver is not as honorable as gold, right? Gold, he put it in writing, but next day he didn't like it, change it. You understand? But Medes and Persian cannot change it. Now I want you to see that. This is what I call King Babylon. The Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, is a dictator. That means he can change anytime he likes. His word is the law. You understand? Now, this one is a little bit more democratic. As long as the king put it in writing, you cannot change it. You have to execute the law in writing. You understand? And later on, what do we have in this part? It's bronze, right? That stands for Greek. And later on, two legs, East and West Rome, Roman Empire, right? And then now, 10 toes is more, it gradually is more ruled by human being, right? Although there's king, but human being has more voting power. You understand? That's what we are progressing in this way. Now go back. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. So start with verse 9. So King Darius fell into the trap already because of the flattering that he received from a group of people that who is under him. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree has been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the window opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knee and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he has done before. I want you to write it down. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46 to 51. And chapter 9, 1 to 3. Joyce, could you read that? 1 Kings. What is the reason why Daniel went home to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem? And then three times a day he got down on his knee and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he has done before. What is the reason why he did things like that? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46.
When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies, who took them captive, and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then have heaven your dwelling place hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, forgive all of the offenses they have committed against you, and cause your conquerors to show them mercy, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of that iron smelting furnace.
Chapter 9, verse 1 to 19.
When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I've heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I've consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command, and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your son turn away from me, and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing in this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. Verse 10.
No, to verse 9. Not 9 to verse 9. Okay. So what is the reason why Daniel went up to the upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem, and then he prayed facing Jerusalem? That is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. 46 to 51. And then chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. At the moment when Solomon finished building the temple of God, and then he prayed to God. That is his prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46 to 51. That is his prayer. When they have sinned against you, for there's no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy. Now they were in the enemy of Babylon. Babylon was destroyed by Mede and Persian. Now in the hand of Mede and Persian, who take them captive to their own land, far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they were held captive, Daniel is the one have a change of heart. And he repent and plead with you in the land of their conqueror and said, we have sinned, we have done wrong, and we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemy, who took them captive, and prayed to you, trust the land, trust the city of Jerusalem, and trust the temple I have built for you, I have built for your name. Then, from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause. And that's exactly. And then in chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, especially in verse 3, the Lord said to Solomon, I have heard the prayer and plea that you have made before me. I have consecrated the temple which you have built. By putting my name there forever, my eyes and my heart will always be there. In other words, if you pray, trust Jerusalem, trust the city, trust the Holy Land, trust the temple, the Lord will hear you. In the same way. In the same way, that's the Old Testament teaching, eh? What about in New Testament teaching? Anybody knows? What should I do when I pray? In Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. Could someone read that? Chapter 16, verse 23 to 24. In the Old Testament teaching, if you have sins against God, and if you are in trouble, what should you do? You lift up your eyes, facing the Holy Land, facing the Holy City, Jerusalem, and facing the temple, and you pray, the Lord will answer your prayer. But in New Testament teaching, Hannah, could you read that? 14, 13, and 14. So you have to ask in his name, right? Isn't it? So what's the similarity in 1 Kings chapter 8 and chapter 9? What did the Lord do? He put his name in that place. Isn't it? I have heard the prayer and the plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my temple will always be there. The body of Jesus Christ represents the temple of God. And when we pray in Jesus' name, and God say, I will hear your prayer. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do. So when we pray, that's why Christians pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Christians do. That's why the Jewish people, when Jewish people pray, when he pray, he facing Jerusalem. Because that's what the Bible say. So he has that kind of faith to pray, and God answer his prayer. And Daniel must have read 1 Kings chapter 8 and 1 Kings chapter 9, 1 to 3. He read it, he believed in it, and he do it accordingly. And God answer his prayer. In Old Testament time. Now in New Testament time, when we pray in Jesus' name. That's why you hear a Christian at the end of his prayer, he say, I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray in Jesus' name, God say, I'm going to answer you. Okay? 16, Gospel of John 16, 23 to 24. Hannah? The latter part of 23. I tell you the truth, starting from there.
I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
When you pray to God, at the end of your prayer, you say, I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Heavenly Father will answer you. You understand? That's the reason why we pray in Jesus' name. You try that, okay? And you know that name is a powerful name. You don't pray in any other name. Because Jesus Christ is God's Son. He's the Son of God. He's a righteous man. He's a righteous God. And you pray in his name. And Heavenly Father, we answer your prayer. Okay, now go back. Daniel. Where did Daniel learn it from? Praying three times a day. Right beside three times a day, you write down Psalm 55, 16 to 17. Psalm 55, 16 to 17. Daniel learned it from David. David is the man of prayer. He's a man after God's heart. And David prayed to God all the time. And God answered his prayer. Psalm 55, verse 16 to 17. But I called to God, and the Lord saved me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hear my voice. Evening, morning, and noon. Three times a day. The Jewish custom, starting with evening, is the first part of the day. For us Gentiles, the first part of the day is morning, right? But for Jewish people, the first part of the day is evening, starting 6 o'clock and after. So that evening prayer is the beginning of his day. You understand? Evening, morning, and noon. Three times a day. And that's exactly where Daniel learned it from. Now, when he prayed, he's facing Jerusalem. So when we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? When we pray continuously, and God will answer us, okay? Three times a day, Daniel got down on his knee and prayed and giving thanks to his God, just as he has done before. Hannah, do you know what happened when Daniel prayed three times a day? So what happened now? God will listen to him. What happened to Darius, King Darius? He get himself into trouble. What kind of trouble he get into?
Thrown into the lion's den.
He will be thrown into the lion's den. But is he afraid of that?
No.
He's not afraid of that. So I want you to write it down. Proverbs chapter 25, 26. Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 29:25. I'll repeat it again. 25:26. Turn to Proverbs 25:26, 28:1, 29:25. Daniel is not afraid of the edict that King Darius has issued. He's not afraid. He's willing to take the risk. Proverbs 25:26. Like a muddy spring or a polluted well is a righteous man, Daniel, who give way to the wicked. Did he give way to the wicked? No. Although he was persecuted by a group of people, by his colleague, and then King Darius was flattered so much that he fell into the trap and put the decree in writing, and he's not afraid of that. So he still relies on God, giving thanks to God, just as he has done before. And then verse 11. Then this man went as a group. You see that? You circle the word. Verse 6. They went as a group. And then verse 11. They went as a group. And then verse 15. They went as a group. I tell you one thing. When they are against you, they are against you in a group. But you're not afraid of them, because you have God on your side, okay? I read that to you, 28:1, Proverbs. The wicked man flee, though no one pursue. but the righteous men are as bold as a lion. That's exactly what happened to Daniel. 29:25, Proverbs. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Okay? Daniel is not afraid of man, nor did he afraid of the lion Dan. He's not afraid of King Darius either. He afraid of God. He prayed to God 3 times a day. Doesn't matter what happened to the edicts. And he put his trust in God, and God delivered him. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Verse 11. Then this man went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Verse 12. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prayed to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, because the king did not know that. The decree stand in according with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pay no attention to you. He tried to upset the king, you know, saying that, pay no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prayed 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He's not happy about that. He didn't want Daniel to get hurt, but he can't change it. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until the sundown to save him. In verse 15, then the man went as a group again to the king Darius and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of Medes and Persians, no decree or edicts that the king issued can be changed, because he's not like King Nebuchadnezzar, right? King Nebuchadnezzar can change anytime he likes. But King Darius cannot change it. He's not as powerful. He's silver. He's not gold. Okay? Verse 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. Right beside you serve continuously. How did Daniel serve God continuously? You write down chapter 6, verse 4 and 10. How did he serve God continuously? By being upright, by being a man of integrity. Chapter 6, verse 4. At this, the administrator and satrap tried to find ground for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affair, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. He served God this way. He so distinguished himself among the administrator and the satrap by his exceptional quality, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. That's how he served God. He served God in his position by being a man of integrity. And how did he serve God? In chapter 6, verse 10, by going up to his upstairs room where the window opened towards Jerusalem, and 3 times a day he got down on his knee and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he has done before. That's how he served God, by praying. He served God by serving wholeheartedly to his earthly king without corruption, with integrity, with exceptional quality. Okay? That's how he served God. And then the king Darius said to Daniel, verse 16, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. That means King Darius, that's why he was greatly distressed, because he didn't want to throw Daniel into the lion's den, because he know that Daniel is of good use to him, because he knows that all the other 120 satraps and the other two administrators not as good as Daniel. But he cannot repeal the decree that he has issued. So he has no choice but to put Daniel into the lion den. But he prayed. He said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you. Verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the ring of his noble, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he could not sleep. Verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king Darius got up and hurried to the lion den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continuously, been able to rescue you from the lion? Daniel answered. You know, if Daniel can answer, that means Daniel is alive, right? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lion. Hey, poor, right? It's not just one lion. Okay? Multiple lions within the lion den. And they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. So Daniel was upright in the sight of God, the heavenly king. And Daniel was upright in the sight of the earthly king, King Darius. Verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he has trusted in his God. I want you to write it down right beside that. Psalm 94, 12 to 14. Psalm 94, 12 to 14. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble. Still, a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Daniel is the man the Lord disciplined. Daniel is the man the Lord teach from his law. He read 1 Kings chapter 8, chapter 9, and he believed in it. He read Psalm 55, verse 16 to 17. He learned it from King David to pray three times a day, evening, morning, and noon, facing Jerusalem, praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord answered him. And he was rescued from the mouth of the lion, and yet his enemy were killed. Take a look at that. In verse 23, the king was overjoyed and gave order to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he has trusted in his God. Verse 24, at the king's command, the man who has falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lion overpowered them and crushed all their bones. I want you to write it down. Psalm 35, verse 4 to 10. Joshua, could you read that? Psalm 35, 4 to 10. Psalm 35, verse 4 to 10. Read that.
May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Since they hid their net for me without cause, and without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin take them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will claim, who is like you, O Lord, who rescued the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them.
In here they say, my whole being will exclaim. But in the original language, it's not my whole being. They say, all my bones. All my bones shall say, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those who are from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. Not even one bone of Daniel was bitten by a lion. He's a righteous man. His enemy tried to dig a hole, falsely accused him, and put him in the lion den. And during that night, I believe he prayed to God. And God answered him. The Lord whom he served continuously, the Lord he trusts, deliver him. On top of that, the lion overpowered his enemy and crushed all their bones. Where's his bone? Not even one was crushed. That's exactly what the Bible says. And Daniel believed in the word of God. He prayed according to his word. And the Lord delivered him according to his word. That's why he said, all, not my whole being, all my bone shall say, who is like you, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. Right beside verse 24, I want you to write down Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. 26, 27. Chapter 26, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 27. Josh? Daniel's enemy dig a pit for Daniel to fall, and yet the enemy will fall into it. Isn't it? So make sure when we are working a few years down the road, you so distinguish yourself with exceptional quality and be a man of integrity. If anyone set a trap for you, and they will fall into it. And you pray to God. Okay? Just as usual, three times a day, pray to God. And God will deliver you. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. Now, because of this incident, King Darius know that he is not God. People flatter him, say, oh, you are just like God. If anyone pray to any man or to any God except praying to you, that means all his subjects put him, leave him up as if he's God, right? He liked that, right? And then he realized he himself is not God. He realized God of Daniel is true God. For God of Daniel is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescued and he saved. He performed sign and wonder in the heaven and on the earth, even in the lion's den. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lion. And even King Darius know who God is. Because of this incident, King Darius turned to the living God. Verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I want you to write beside verse 28, write chapter 1, verse 21. In the beginning of his chapter, chapter 1, Daniel write 1:21, and Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So that's why in chapter 6, verse 28, Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Did anybody know who is the Cyrus, the Persian king? Do you know who he is? Daniel preached the word of God to Cyrus, because Daniel is a man of God's word. So I want you to write down Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28, Isaiah 45, verse 1 and 13. Daniel must have read Isaiah. And so that's why he encouraged Cyrus to let his people go. Go back to the promised land. Isaiah 44, verse 28. And I would like to remind you, when Isaiah the prophet write down Isaiah 44, verse 28, Cyrus wasn't born yet. He wasn't born. Okay? And when Daniel prophesies, in the future, there's a king called Cyrus, and he will let God's people go home from captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, captured the Jewish people and take them into the kingdom of Babylon. But when the kingdom of Babylon was destroyed by Mede and Persian, and God prophesied, there's a king called Cyrus, we'll let you go. And Daniel read it. And Daniel preached it to Cyrus. And Cyrus said, wow, is that true? My name was written in the Bible? He let his people go. So read that. Josh 44, verse 28.
Who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please? He will save Jerusalem. Let it be rebuilt and have the temple. Let its foundations be laid.
Verse 45, 40, chapter 45, verse 1 and 13.
This is what the Lord says to his anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. Verse 13. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free. But not for a price or reward, says the Lord Almighty.
And you know what happened? Turn to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. You read it. Josh. Yep.
In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken. spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord from the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, said: The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem and Judah.
So how would he know that he was appointed to build the temple of Jerusalem? Because someone preached it to him, right? Who preached it to him? Because Daniel chapter 6 verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Chapter 1 of Daniel verse 21. What did Daniel say? 1:21. And Daniel remained there until the first year of the King Cyrus. He encouraged King Cyrus to follow and obey the word of the Lord, spoken through Jeremiah and Isaiah. And he believed in it. King Cyrus believed in the word of God and let his people go and build it. Do you understand? The God that we believe is a faithful God. Whatever he do, he put it down in writing ahead of time, before someone even was born, like Cyrus, right? And then when Cyrus realized, wow, God is powerful, so he lets the people go. Okay? Read that.
The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem and Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem and Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and Levites, everyone whose hearts God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all their freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought by Mithridat, the treasurer, who counted them up to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah.
So what have we learned in chapter 6 of Daniel? Hannah, could you tell me what have you learned? Was basically you say it three times, okay? You gotta give me three answers then, okay?
Josh was like, oh my god.
Okay, tell me, Joshua, you make her laugh. You tell me three reasons. What have you learned? Three things.
Full of integrity, then you will be persecuted.
But do you have to be afraid?
No, because
what happens if you are afraid? No, I mean, if you are afraid, then you give in. You give in, then you don't see God deliver you. Mm-hmm. But Daniel, he did not give in to the wicked. Mm-hmm. He resists him like a lion. Mm-hmm. And he was rescued by God from the lion den. Not even one bone was broken. He didn't get hurt, right? So when you live upright life in this wicked society, for sure you'll be persecuted. But when you are being persecuted, what should you do? Follow the very footsteps of Daniel and King David. What will you do?
To resist the wicked world and continue to follow the word of God so that you can see God deliver you.
And what else did he do?
He also prayed in Jesus' name.
He prayed three times a day, right? As usual.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man of prayer, right?
Yeah.
And God answered him, right? In a powerful way. And what else have you learned?
And I also learned that when people flatter you, they're probably setting up a net for you, and that you should
avoid.
You should be careful, yeah.
Now, what about King Cyrus? Did Daniel preach the gospel to King Cyrus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did Daniel preach the gospel to Darius? Otherwise, how would Darius know the God of Daniel is a living God? Right? You see, the God that you serve continuously, may he rescue you. Lo and behold, he rescued him. Right? So by living upright, all your friends, all your colleagues, all your superior end up knowing God, right? Through your action and through your word. But the thing is, if Daniel did not study Isaiah, if he did not study the book of Jeremiah, how would he preach to Cyrus? How would Cyrus know that, oh, before I was born, my name was written in the Bible already, and that I'm going to let you go back to your homeland, right? By preaching the gospel, he not only delivered himself, he delivered his own people. Just like what is recorded in Ezra. And his people can go home, right? Now, Hannah, what else have you learned? You don't repeat all this, okay? Tell me some new thing that you have learned. So, Joyce, what have you learned?
That we shouldn't turn from the righteous path, and that we should continue to serve God as he wants us to serve him.
What happens if Daniel give in and don't pray? Because he's afraid that King Darius will persecute him. The edict has been issued. The decree has been written in writing. What happens if he give in? If he give in, he won't be persecuted. But there's no chapter 6 of Daniel. And he won't be prosperous until the time of Cyrus. And that is a sad ending. By giving in to the wicked, the Lord cannot use you anymore. Right? If the Lord cannot use Daniel anymore, his people may not be let go by King Cyrus, the Persian. Because he is afraid to preach the gospel to the king of Persia, right? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you encourage us in the 6th chapter of Daniel, help us to live an upright life, a life of integrity, a life of uprightness, a life of exceptional quality without corruption, not following the way of this world, and so that we be greatly used by you. By doing so, we serve you continuously, and we also serve you by praying to you, on top of living an upright life, and then you're going to use us to deliver our own people. Thank you for delivering Daniel in a difficult situation so that we know what kind of God that we believe. And we know that you do not show favoritism. How Daniel seek you in those days and received your blessing, I pray that you do the same to us. And as we serve you continuously, and I pray that you bless us too. And make us prosperous so that we can witness for you before our superior so that they can come to know you. Just like King Darius come to know you because of the upright life that Daniel has lived. And King Cyrus know you. And also King Nebuchadnezzar knows you too because of Daniel. I know that Daniel will not come and see you with empty-handed. He come to see you with a lot of Gentile king and subject knowing you. Because King Darius sent a decree to all his people. Let his people know the God of Daniel is a living God. He can save, he can rescue, he can deliver us. Lord, I pray that you use us in this kind of way, so that we can honor you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.